It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Final hour ahead of a big, big weekend here in Toronto. TFC going for the MLS Cup tomorrow afternoon on TSN. Rematch of last year's final with Seattle in town. And a two-pack for the Leafs. The Leafs are in Pittsburgh tomorrow night, taking on Sid and the Pens. And then at home Sunday, taking on McDavid and the Oilers. Both games can be heard right here on TSN Radio over the course of the weekend. So we're fired up.
Not a bad little gig for the city of Toronto, win another championship within 2 to 3 weeks.
What would you place the Jerry's percentage at? City of Toronto going 3 for 3 this weekend. TFC wins tomorrow, and the Leafs pick up both wins.
20%. There's a lot of people think that the TFC, from what I'm listening to, like Seattle is pretty good.
They're very good. They're back-to-back finalists. They're the champs. They won a year ago.
Yeah.
They had some ups and downs this year with injury problems, but by all accounts, they're rolling now. Like, I don't think this is a walkover tomorrow for TFC.
No. And it's not a walkover for against Pittsburgh or the Oilers. So, yeah, I'm in that range. I'll say 25%.
A little bit more optimism than all.
Just, I mean, I'd like to see TFC win, and I mean... The Leafs, you're not signing off on one out of two games, but it's quite possible one out of two games could be there. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I said earlier, if I was given the offer on the table.
Yeah, you wouldn't take it.
I wouldn't take it. 2 points before you even play. So you didn't even have to play the games. If somehow Bettman came up to Toronto and said, don't even travel to Pittsburgh, Edmonton's going to bypass Toronto too. You get your 2 points, you get a split of the weekend. I'm getting more arrogant than that. I'm willing to gamble. I think this Leaf team is a very good team. I think they've had their issues recently in terms of the forward group and maybe the defensive group. They're giving up way too many shots.
Right.
But Freddie Anderson is locked in, and I expect McElhinney to likely play on Sunday, but I expect Brossoit to play on Sunday for the Oilers.
Yeah.
They're facing two backups.
Yep.
Backup in Pitt, backup in Edmonton. So I think they're in a pretty good spot. I think this is where you should get greedy. This is kind of like a similar situation to the one they were with are dealing with last weekend, where you're playing with house money, taking the first two games of that Western Canadian roadie, but the elite teams go out there and win the third game.
Right.
The elite teams walk out of Western Canada with 6 points. The elite teams that are truly trying to make a statement walk out of this weekend with 4 points.
Right.
Because that would send some pretty decent shockwaves if the Leafs can beat Pittsburgh and Edmonton this weekend.
But they fell short against Vancouver.
They did. That's what I'm saying.
So
they did fall short. But now here's another opportunity to make a bit of a statement.
Up. Yeah.
It would certainly kind of do in those rankings if they could take two of these both wins.
Well, it's a good measuring stick, right? Yeah. Like, that's what you use them.
I mean, it's not going to vault them to the top with a St. Louis or a Tampa, but it's
they're
in that mix of the five teams. We talked about it.
Above the group. Above the 20 teams in the middle, they're above that. So that's although Philadelphia just went out west and went 3 for 3, which was, I mean, that was a team that hadn't won a game in 10. They had 5 loser points, but
they were desperate. They needed that.
Yeah, they got some goaltending too, actually. Which
your boy Brian Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which individual Leaf player do you think has to have the biggest weekend? Matthews, Kadri, or Morgan Riley? Taking Anderson and McElhinney out of it.
I think Matthews. We talked about yesterday, Kadri can be a big factor, but in Pitt, who knows what matchup he's going to be. It's going to be Malkin or Crosby. But Austin Matthews, he can make it. We talk about the team making a statement. He can make one himself, saying, enough with this post-injury talk. I'm back. I'm one of these guys. I'm in the mix talking about with these guys, and I'm going to prove it to you with my play on the ice.
I don't disagree with that. I just think it's Kadri, because if Matthews does his thing, if Kadri can play good two-way hockey against the other guys in that conversation.
I'm just as confident as Austin Matthews playing against Connor McDavid as
Well, I am too, but I'm just saying that if the match, if you want a home matchup, and you're trying to get, I'm more talking about in Pittsburgh. Like, I think Kadri has an opportunity here to frustrate a couple teams defensively. Like we talked about, Matthews, I think, can make a statement, be in there with those guys. I just, if you're going to be relied on as a shutdown guy, if that's what Babcock's going to throw Kadri out there, if he's going to try and get his matchups, if he does his job, then we're looking at Crosby and McDavid and those guys not being as big a factor.
Being neutralized to an extent. Not shut down completely.
No, but that's when guys like Matthews and Nylander and Marner and whoever else, Marlowe.
That's interesting that you guys go with those two, because I would say Morgan Rielly.
You thought it's Morgan?
Because I think it's a guarantee he's playing against both. I don't know who's going to get the matchup between Sid and McDavid, if it's going to be Matthews or Kadri. Because we saw recently against both those teams, in Calgary in particular, Matthews matched up against their top line.
Right.
In Edmonton, McDavid and Matthews played against each other a fair amount. Now, I was on the road, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Right.
But I think Morgan Rielly is definitely playing against both top lines.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't practice today, but I think that's more, hey, save yourself because you got a big weekend ahead of you.
Yeah, you said probably 50 minutes ahead of him this weekend.
More than likely. Right, and he's put up very quality offensive numbers. But you talk about making a statement. Like, you know, we get carried away with talking about awards and where would Matthews stack up, where would Freddie Anderson stack up. Morgan Riley's top five, I believe, in points for defensemen.
That
and
is.
This is a big weekend for him to prove that he's improved on both ends of the ice.
Yeah, to go up against
two of the best players in the league.
Exactly.
You can find a way to be effective in your own end against McDavid and Crosby over the course of 24 hours. That's a pretty significant individual statement.
It is.
Big news in the Major League Baseball world today. Shohei Ohtani, most talked about international player in years, finally made a decision. Going to the small town of Los Angeles. Off to little L.A.
Wanted a small market.
Well, Anaheim.
That would have turned me off if I'm a team anyway. This guy doesn't want to be in a big market. What do you even want to play for?
Well, he wanted to be on the West Coast. I can't blame him for that. But here is Bob Nightingale from USA Today and the MLB Network. What do you make of this decision by Shohei Ohtani? Are you surprised at all, Bob?
I am. You know, I would have been more surprised, although a guy from the Yankees warned me this morning. He says he's going to Anaheim. And I didn't really believe it because I kept thinking Seattle all along. They've had a Japanese player since like 98. The Padres had a lot of, in-road connections there. And, them picks, even though it's L.A., it's not really L.A., it's Orange County. So, this guy's 23 years old from a small town, still does not have his driver's license. And I just think he's one of those guys, and, baseball's got a lot of them, that just didn't want the big-time environment. Unfortunately for him, it's going to follow him around. Because Anaheim's going to have to rebuild those press boxes and expand, because you're going to get at least 50 Japanese reporters following this guy around. And I've yet to see a free agent with this kind of mystique and intrigue about him. It should be fun to watch.
Can you explain or detail what his routine is going to be? For those who don't know, apparently this guy pitches. He's an unbelievable pitcher, but he can hit. He can play the outfield. What kind of role do you see this guy playing? It's going to be very unique.
Well, the big thing teams wanted him for was his pitching. Compare him to another Japanese pitcher, but everybody says he's better than Yu Darvish, and we know how good Darvish is. So he's going to become an immediate ace. He can play the outfield. He's supposed to be a good outfielder, but yet he hasn't played there since 2014. So that's why I think he had to go to American League team, and now he can DH. Several times a week. I mean, they got Pujols at the DH also, but he can DH 3-4 times a week. Maybe play the outfield once, and then he starts once a week. He's supposed to be unbelievable talent. And about the 25-30 people I've talked to that have gone over there and scouted him and talked to him, every one of them comes away completely impressed that this kid's gonna be a stud and that a real likable kid. I mean, for a guy. He could have stayed over in Japan, come out 2 years later and got $200 million, but yet wanted to come over here so bad, he forfeited that and says, I just want to play.
Well, he immediately becomes the most intriguing player in the league for me, and one of the more intriguing players in all of sports because of how unique this situation could be. If he actually does pitch and hit, I mean, I've never seen that before. It's to the level that we might be expecting, where we're talking significant starts and significant ABs, this kind of stuff hasn't happened since like the 1920s.
Roy Hobbs.
Exactly, yeah. Like way back there. Like, could this turn into a trend or what?
You're talking about Babe Ruth type stuff. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's only happened like five times in history. A guy, you know, making 15 starts on the mound and 15 times in the field, and this guy could do that, obviously. I think it is starting to become a little bit of a possible trend, because even this past year's draft, there was a kid, McKay, out of University of Louisville. He got drafted by Tampa Bay with the fourth pick. And they're letting him go two ways right now in the minor leagues. The Reds drafted the shortstop, Hunter Green. And even though he does both, they're limiting him to his pitching mound right now. But, yeah, it's it could be a little phase where, hey, if you're that good of an athlete, why not? And all these teams complain about not having enough people on the roster. You know, now you get two for the price of one.
With Bob Nightingale from USA Today and the MLB Network, MLB winter meetings beginning early next week in Orlando. And this was the first domino to fall that everyone was waiting for. The second one is Giancarlo Stanton. And it sounds as if he has nixed a trade to St. Louis. He's nixed a trade to the Giants. And by all accounts, he's narrowed his list down to four teams: Houston, the Yankees, the Cubs, or the Dodgers. And he has the right to execute that. He's got a full no trade. I mean, how would you handicap the chances of one of those four teams actually ponying up and making this deal for Stanton?
You know, I think it's a situation where he's going to be stuck there, I think, until trade deadline next year. I don't see any team stepping up and grabbing him, not for what the Marlins want. I think he's going to be staying there.
So does he really want out, or is this more the Marlins that really want him out?
The Marlins really want him out. You know, it's a situation that, you know, they just want to dump money. I mean, the D. Gordon trade yesterday, that was all about the money, dropping $38 million. This is for dumping $295 million. And he wants to go to the Dodgers or maybe a big market team like the Yankees. You know, the Dodgers are just kind of playing around. They don't have money to do it. I mean, they're a rich team. But they had a $245 million payroll last year. And so what they're telling the Marlins and the Yankees are telling the Marlins is that, yeah, we'll take them if you take on our terrible contracts. And that's not going to happen.
What's your read on the Blue Jays and what you think they could end up doing over the next month, month and a half?
I think they can listen on Donaldson. I think with Stanton out now, you're going to have teams like the San Francisco Giants and St. Louis Cardinals really needing a bat. Really need a third baseman, so I think they're going to have to listen. I think, you know, if they don't move Donaldson now, he's certainly going to be out. Also, they're going to trade him next year at the trade deadline. So it's almost if someone blows away right now, go ahead and do it.
Well, I think people up here are bracing themselves for Donaldson not being a Blue Jay after the 2018 season. It's just a matter of when it happens. You know, but it's difficult to get a read on Shapiro and Atkins. They don't say much. They don't tell you much. They're coming off a very disappointing season, but they led the American League in attendance. It's difficult to get a read. I mean, what are you hearing in terms of where Shapiro and Atkins really want to bring the Blue Jays organization?
And, you know, I'm hearing that they would like to rebuild. And, it makes it tough to rebuild because, like you said, there's such a high attendance. Everybody loves the Blue Jays and in Canada, and it's just a tough thing to rebuild, but that they really want to do that and kind of start over. And to do that, you need to trade Donaldson. I mean, you can get a lot more from now than you will in July. So I think they're really more focused on the farm system, rebuilding that, than contending. I don't think it broke their hearts last year at all that they did not make the playoffs, because they did. You know, they would probably have had to add pieces this way or not subtract.
Great stuff, Bob. Really appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
It's Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He's hearing Shapiro and Atkins want to rebuild. And that wouldn't surprise me at all, but the ownership...
Just do it and get it over with then. Like, just stop.
Well, it makes you wonder if that factors into the news earlier in the week of Rodgers potentially wanting to sell the team. If they're aware of what's coming, if they're aware that they might be awful for a few years and get out from underneath it before everything collapses again, before you start seeing 13,000 people at the park again.
Well, where does Donaldson fit in that? That's the thing.
If you're rebuilding, you can't sign him long term. If you're rebuilding, you have to trade your best pieces.
Yeah.
And a 30-year-old MVP would be exactly what you're looking to move on from in terms of getting pieces in return. It starts with Donaldson.
Would this market snap, though?
I don't think so if you sold it properly. Really? If you sold, like,
instead of using the term rebuild, though, isn't there a retool option in here where you keep a Donaldson, you keep Stroman, you keep Sanchez, and is there not? Is there retool?
Yeah, you could.
I mean, I know you're locked into Martin and Tulo, which is the elephant in the room.
It's killing them, that kind of money. Oh. That's like $36, $37 million combined for two guys who they're not going to give you anything close to what they were in their prime.
They're past their date.
Their due date?
Big time. But, I mean, honestly, when it comes to Rodgers trying to sell the team, like we talked a lot about the stadium as well. The stadium, I don't know if it's on the minds of every fan, right. But within the next 10 years, it will be. Like, it's almost 30 years old. In 10 years, you're talking about a 40-year-old stadium that doesn't have character. It's not Wrigley. It's not Fenway. It's not Yankee Stadium.
Nope.
40 years?
Ask Calgary Flames fans.
Exactly.
About that.
Guess what happens? They're like, get rid of this dump and build me a new stadium.
Yep.
And I think that might factor in as well to the idea of getting out before you have to buy a new stadium, before you have to deal with customer service and people being like, I don't want to show up and spend money to come down here anymore.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, I understand why Rodgers might be like, you know what, this is the time to sell. Get out while the team is still pretty good. Get out while we've been making some money, you believe. And get out before you might have to invest in a new stadium.
You have to explore all the options, for sure. That's probably what they've been
doing.
You
got to go by that stupid bar that people go on Sundays and their bikinis on and take pictures and get all boozed up and build a park there. Cabana.
Right downtown by the water?
No, it's like east. Just east. You never heard of Cabana Pool Bar?
No.
I think I
haven't.
Have.
Is it down by the water?
There's bottle service there and stuff.
I believe it is down by the water, but okay. It's kind of off the beaten path a little bit.
I think I know.
Remember where we did that soccer tournament thing?
I know exactly where it is.
That's the area it's in.
Okay, I've been there many, many times. But I haven't been there since it converted to Cabana.
That would be a great place for a ball, somewhere like that.
The problem is how you get there, parking, all that kind of stuff. But if they can build that, why not? Build up the waterfront. I'm with you. I love where the Sky Dome is, or the Rogers Center is situated. It's perfectly set up, like right downtown, not far from Union. It's a great spot. Where it is.
You got to go San Fran model and just have a situation where you can just golf one into the water.
That would be great. Like AT&T Park is the best park.
They say it's the best one in MLB. Everybody says that.
I've been to AT&T, I've been to Wrigley, I've been to Fenway, Yankee Stadium, PNC in Pittsburgh, which is a beautiful park. And AT&T is the coolest one I've been to.
Hands down.
It's just incredibly built. And it is right there on the ocean. It'd be awesome. It would be really cool to launch balls into Lake Ontario. It would be really cool. Our boy KJ Christian Jack teeing up the TFC Seattle finale tomorrow afternoon. We've got a pair of tickets we're going to give away. Pair of tickets to the TFC Seattle MLS Cup final tomorrow. So tune in to find out how and when you can win those. Don't forget to listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, happens to be today, calling with the names of all five players. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Lightning today. That will be January 2nd at the ACC. The theme this week, former Leafs who played in the state of Florida. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, Dave Andrechuk, the Hall of Famer. Dave Andrechuk, nice. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. The Series 1 Team Triples are 30% off now until December 14th, available at Toys R Us stores. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with all five players named. You're going to see Leafs Lightning January 2nd down at the ACC. We've got another VIP ticket to give away to our party at the Pine on Sunday night.
Looking forward to that one.
TFC tickets to give away. Get back into our poll question. We're rocking and rolling.
We're moving.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Big weekend here in Toronto. Leafs with a double shot at Pittsburgh tomorrow, at home against Edmonton. Both games can be heard right here on TSN 1050. And tomorrow afternoon, we've got the MLS Cup final on TSN. TFC taking on Seattle. And TSN 1050 soccer coverage for the road to the MLS Cup continues with the MLS playoffs coming to an end. TFC facing Seattle. MLS Cup final Saturday, 4 p.m. Watch all of the action on TSN. We got a pair of tickets to give away.
Nice.
This is a big hookup. I mean, it's tough to get into that BMO field at any point, let alone the MLS Cup final tomorrow
afternoon.
And
Natasha's not going, even though she was a big soccer fan. Felt like it was the game.
Footy specialist.
Kara said that. Nabil Kareem said that. Natasha Stanishevsky said that. We all asked, if you were saying, or you heard someone say, I'm watching the game tomorrow, which one did you think, or would you think, they were talking about?
I would have assumed it was Leafs-Pittsburgh. Just based on, and you have to know the people that you're talking to. I think Nabil would be like, I'm going to watch Stauskas play.
To sum it up, it would be all situational. If there was little chatter in your brain or what you were talking about with your friends and said, what's the game? You'd be like, the Leafs. But if you just heard someone like KJ or somebody on the radio, you'd be thinking, oh, it's a soccer game.
Well, yeah, if you're talking to a diehard TFC guy,
right?
You know, if we're sitting here with Gareth Wheeler, he's probably talking about the TFC match.
Gareth
tomorrow.
Wheeler is at Brazenhead right now.
Getting fired up and ready to go for tomorrow afternoon.
There's probably actually people that want to put in a shift.
Why would you put in a shift the night before?
They just
you've
do
got
it.
A big shift the
they
next
right,
day.
They go right through. Then they wake up and have Caesars.
Caesars, not Ryan Ginger's at 11 a.m.
Exactly.
Our society accepts a triple vodka-shotted Caesar at 11 a.m. That's cool. A mimosa with a full bottle of wine, all good. But you have one other drink that isn't a Caesar or a mimosa before noon, you're a loser
a
and a degenerate.
A double crown ginger, and you've got
you got
problems.
A problem.
It's the exact same thing. It a Caesar is. Has like three shots of vodka in it, but that's totally cool.
Three shots? It's that heavy?
Well, not all the time. I mean,
well, if you have somebody making you a good one, it's in a tall glass and there's lots of booze.
There's at least a double in there. There's at least a two-pack in there.
You get the pepper going. You got the celery stick.
I just felt like it's too much of a hassle. Yeah,
exactly.
Like the brim. There's a salted brim. And
too much of a production.
Tomato juice anyways.
Too much of a production.
Too much.
Anyway, tickets tomorrow.
Yes.
Phone lines are open. Here is the question that we are throwing at people, because this can't be easy. Name the Seattle goalkeeper who played 5 years with TFC before shutting down TFC and winning the MLS Cup final MVP last year. Who won the MLS Cup MVP last year when Seattle beat TFC? The first one in with that answer at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Is going to see TFC take on Seattle tomorrow afternoon. If you're not in the building, you can watch it on TSN, which means you'll be tuned in to our main man, Christian Jack.
Yes.
And the whole cast and whole crew, all those characters will be down there at BMO. And KJ joins us now. What's happening, buddy?
I'm really well. How's everybody?
We're doing very, very well. We're excited for the big game tomorrow. Yeah.
What time do you think fans are going to start firing it up? I think there's people over at Brazenhead right now.
Oh, 100%. You want to join them, O-Dog?
You know it.
100%, it's already started. I mean, I do worry for the post game. They better win, because last year everybody just went home tired and it was a late night. This time, 4:30 kick. I mean, those pubs are back open at 7.
It's such a good point. I was watching it last year.
Brilliant timing for the start of the game, you don't think?
It's a way better adjustment. Like, I know prime time is prime time, but I think on the weekends, if you're talking about a championship game, I'll take 4:30 over 7 or 7:30 any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, particularly in this market, you know, against, you know, the hockey night and everything like that as well. So why not go out and get your Christmas shopping earlier, get in and put the TV on with us, starting at 3:30, and we'll get you ready for the game. There you go. There's a little promo.
Good man. Can't wait for it tomorrow. The focal point seems to be revolving around Jovinko, who has not really been there for the big games. This guy will light up a season like no one we've seen in MLS history. But the big, big games, including last year's final and other games of that ilk, including the one we just played last week, he hasn't necessarily showed the greatest form. How much pressure is on him to perform tomorrow afternoon?
I think it's a fair point, and I think pressure is obviously something that they're used to. You know, you pay the big bucks to get these guys to perform under pressure. I always think, you know, whenever you take these kind of stats, it's a little bit like the playoff stats in baseball or a little bit to hockey when you just have such a small sample size. Sometimes you can look back at it and think, okay, they're not delivering in the big stage, a little bit like the Clayton Kershaw syndrome, I suppose. But he hasn't been delivering in terms of what people expect him to be delivering, and then that's goals. And, you know, you could even take that back during the regular season. He hasn't scored a goal from open play since the end of August when he was in Montreal. So I know he had a 4 or 5 weeks off with injury as well. So, you know, it's time for him, I think, to go out there and understand, and I think he understands this. Look, this is the key difference between the two teams. Seattle are a very, very good side, and I don't just say that, you know, with ease. And they are a very, very good side, strong up the middle. Defensively, they were very sound last year. Midfield organized. They've got goal scorers. They've got Dempsey. Everyone knows about him. They don't have a Sebastian Giovinco. And if Giovinco steps up and is close to anything, the level that people have seen throughout the first couple of years of the regular season, and then, of course, he has the potential to win the game. But they've got to get space for him. They've got to get Vasquez and Alfredo playing off him a little bit more. That's what the game's about. It's not all about individual moments. And try and create opportunities for him to make a difference. Because, as you rightly said last year, people remember him walking off, you know, in extra time, getting substituted. And ultimately, that was his the big memory of that game when it came down to his reputation.
Is Altidore ready to rock from what you're hearing?
Yeah, it looks that way, Jamie. I mean, look, I've been with this team all week, you know, watching him train. He looked fine. He trained again at BMO today. Looked like he got a little bit of a knock on it, but he was okay. I mean, you guys know better than anybody. You know, at this kind of time of year, you're never going to be 100%. He said it's a niggling thing that's bothered him since the start of the season, and then he got hurt again. He looked like he was absolutely fine today. Personally, I don't think he necessarily handled it great yesterday in the press conference when, you know, he said it doesn't matter. It just kind of left people open to debate a little bit about whether it really does matter. But, you know, knowing Josie a little bit like I do, it's not necessarily an environment where he thrives. He's better on in one-on-one situations with people that he trusts. So that led a few people to doubt whether he really is ready, but it looks like he is. But they need him to be. They absolutely need him to be in these kind of moments. As I said yesterday on SportsCenter, you cannot have a player, you know, where you really just hope he gets out there and after 10 or 15 minutes he can't go because you're burning a substitute so early in the game. So they need him, and by the look of it so far, it looks like he's going to be fine.
KJ, do you think it's imperative that TFC tries to take care of business right away in this situation? They've set records during the regular season. We all know they're a fantastic team. They've got fantastic talent, but the longer it goes, it seems, in some of these games, the more the pressure builds up. Like, do you not think, like, going into attack mode right away and just setting the standard for the game, like, it's really important for this club to do?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I have to say that I wonder whether that will happen. You know, I think everything that you, Doug, you said there, laid out, is they're all absolutely valid points. But the other thing I would say is that they haven't really played with that swagger for weeks. And they've turned themselves into a very professional, conservative team, difficult to break down, relying on an individual moment or, you know, a free kick or an Altidore goal like against Columbus to break it down. It's been very, very tight. They look a little bit tight this week. The pressure is on them quite rightly. And I think that they might start the game that way. That being said, I do think that, you know, this franchise, this organization, this ownership group don't spend over $20 million a year on players to go out there and sit deep and do what Seattle did last year to win a trophy. Because if that doesn't go their way, then there will be huge criticism. So they have to go out there and realize that they are at home and people expect them to dictate the tempo and the flow of the game.
I guess selfishly, I don't want it to come down to penalty kicks again. I did the World Juniors last year, the final game, and it was like, this is just not right for this to go to a shootout. It just doesn't seem right.
No,
and I guess selfishly, I don't want to see that.
No, I understand that. You know, I'm a little bit different. You know, I've learned to really relish those moments, and there's a lot of aspects in those games that I can look at and talk to goalkeepers and think about that and be ready for that as a broadcaster. But I fully am aware that, you know, the audience that they're trying to target here, people watching a game maybe for the first time all season, leaves a sour taste in your mouth, and I understand that. Like, we hope that that doesn't get that way. You know, there's absolutely no question about that, no matter what side you're on. I think speaking to both teams, games today. They certainly were hoping for that as well. Traditionally, we don't get back-to-back shootouts in MLS Cups. I don't think it's ever happened. So let's hope that the game is a little bit more open. And that, you know, I think it's just a goal in the first half would open it up and force the other team to go at it. There's a lot of good players on both teams that can show their sides to it. So I'm with you. Let's hope it doesn't get to 120 minutes and we haven't seen a moment or a goal like that.
MLS Cup final tomorrow on TSN, kickoff at 4:30, pregame at 3:30. He is Christian Jack, and he'll be a big part of it. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
No problem, guys. Did you notice that I didn't give away the answer to your quiz question during those answers?
Well, like, how would you answer that?
Did you like that? I didn't want to give anything away to the listeners.
Actually. I know. Someone already called in. They already got it right.
Oh, they got it right. There you go.
So, I appreciate it. I knew you would know, but
yeah. Well, I chatted with Stefan Fry this week. He's ready for it. So it'd be a big day for him and a big day for everybody. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait. Thank you, KJ.
Keep up the great work, fellas.
There he is, Christian Jack, TSN soccer analyst. Stefan Fry was the goalkeeper from a year ago, and I don't know who won the tickets, but we've handed those out. So
there you go.
Whoever got a pair to go to check out the MLS Cup final, enjoy yourself tomorrow
afternoon.
Weather's
supposed to be a little shaky too, right?
Cold, windy, maybe some snow.
I thought I saw on CP24 this morning that it is forecasted snow for tomorrow.
I don't like that, man.
I wouldn't like that if I was in the stands, but if I'm at home.
I don't
home,
want that anything. Player, broadcaster, fan,
see, I
vendor.
Like that. I like it. It's different. I don't think of it so much with soccer. I'd maybe not want to see it with soccer.
Football, go ahead.
Football, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Grey Cup I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
That was very, very fun. It was different. It was a different element, different viewing experience. I'm with you. With soccer, I don't need it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that'll put a different spin on things. It's not going to change anything in terms of the way people are reacting to TFC. They've got all the pressure on them.
Yeah.
Seattle is in their building. They beat them a year ago. TFC set records this year. They've got all these guys making all this money. So the pressure's all on TFC.
Yeah, it is.
All on TFC.
See how they handle it.
Well, and you got to believe they don't want to put themselves in a position like the one they found themselves in a year ago where it goes to a shootout. But you can't act crazy. You know, just because what happened a year ago, you can't completely change your game plan and start playing like lunatics out there to avoid a shootout.
But shootouts in soccer are so much different. Like, the net is so big. I always feel for the goaltenders. It's just, I mean, I know they're very skilled in that, but you're, in essence, guessing. Like, you've got to read. You have to anticipate.
See, I look at it the opposite way. I think they're playing with house money. No one expects them to make a stop.
You're right, but
I feel for the kickers because
you miss the net, you hit
you
a crossbar.
Screw it up. It's like, how did you miss that giant net?
How did you miss?
I know, but it's
how
just,
did you miss?
I'm looking at it from a goalie's perspective. Like, you pretty much, these are the best shooters out there, and they should pick the corners every time.
I love when the goaltender guesses wrong.
It just
he just
awful.
Leaps to the right, and the guy shoots it right in the middle.
And the guy just dribbles it in, and you're just laying there like that. That's why I always felt for the goaltenders in soccer.
Well, some guys can just be so obnoxious with it too, like a little chip or something.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
The little tiny chip
roll.
And the guy runs and he could almost get up and get to it, but he's like, yeah. I'm not going to embarrass myself by doing that.
But I've seen some lively soccer goaltenders. One does the cartwheels in the net and like...
Well, it's all psychological,
yeah,
right? You're trying to psych
the
guy out.
Head.
I hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, I mean, that's been
exciting.
Soccer history forever and it's always exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest hypocrisy in sports is hate the shootout. I'll watch that. That could be fun.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you're going to have to be
you have
for
to.
A championship.
It's literally for a title.
Yeah.
All right. We've been inviting people for weeks to TSN 1050's party down at the Pint this Sunday when McDavid and the Oilers roll through town and take on Matthews and the Maple Leafs. Bring out your friends and meet everyone from TSN 1050 and catch what should be a beautiful game. We're also looking for 38 VIPs. We've handed out 37 on Overdrive and Leafs Lunch. Today, we are giving out the final VIP ticket.
Nice.
Final ticket, VIP, for VIP status at the Pint Sunday night. And if you're a part of the VIP crew, you can win a pair of tickets to the Maple Leaf games or a trip for two to Vegas to see the Leafs take on the Golden Knights New Year's Eve.
Play the cheesy music?
Play.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I hit the roulette board before. Red 18. Red 18, so caller 18 at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 18 right now picks up the 38th and final VIP ticket to our party down at the Pint Sunday night, down on front. Should fingers? Be a great time.
Chicken fingers?
They'll have it all. Just for you, Noodles. They're shipping in chicken fingers for you.
Shipping my pants, chicken fingers.
I will be there.
I like the ring of that. I like the sound of that. There. You'll be there? Be there? I'm going to be down there?
We don't have a choice.
Scotty Mack will be down there. Andy Petrillo will be down there.
She'll be hungover because of the...
She'll be at that TFC match tomorrow.
Oh, for
Freddie
sure.
Anderson, B+. Freddie Anderson, B+.
Yeah. I think Freddie's in action tomorrow night, and then more than likely Curtis McElhinney on Sunday. So we'll come back and tee up what should be a great weekend here in Toronto. We'll revisit our poll question. If someone were to say to you they're watching, quote-unquote, the game tomorrow, which game would you think they were talking about, TFC or the Maple Leafs? We'll get to it.
Yeah.
I almost had an O-Dog moment there.
You just had wires cross in your brain.
I almost malfunctioned on the
emailed us the
video visual. Of O-Dog malfunctioning.
Yes. I'm not watching it. It's so stupid. I'm deleting it right now.
I'm going to watch it many, many times all weekend.
Nope.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking ahead to the NFL weekend. This is crazy, but McAdoo's out of there. Eli's back behind the pocket, or in the pocket. I'm going to take the points, the Giants at home against Dallas. I'm taking the points.
You are?
Well, Ben McAdoo was the problem. Get him out of there. Get Jerry Reese, the GM, out of there. Eli back behind center. It's all good. You give me points against Kansas City within the division. I'll take Oakland +4. And this is a big showcase for Jacksonville. They wanted prime time. They got flexed. They're getting prime time, but I'm going to take the points with Seattle. Seattle's been playing a lot better recently. Tough travel, cross country, pretty much as far as they can go from Seattle to Jacksonville. But until Jacksonville proves they can win the big games, I'll take the points. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. You guys see this news out of Chicago that reportedly the Cubs, when they were courting Shohei Ohtani, they showed him or they put him through a virtual reality tour of what it would be like to be a Cub.
How do you do that?
I guess
that's the wave of the future now, this virtual reality. But he's walking down the street and what do they have, like people waving to him and he's...
I guess, yeah, you like put a mask on, you're walking down Michigan Avenue, you're hitting home runs out of Wrigley. But no wonder he said no. He probably walked out of there like, you guys are nerds. Like, get
you're
me
nuts,
out of here.
Too.
Well, unless he's a nerd and they scared him with, like, hey, you'll be hanging out with Patrick Kane. And
right.
Like,
that's big
all
time
I do.
Dude.
If somebody wants to come to Toronto, I'm going to be like, Kyle Lowry, DeMar, Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley, take this guy out and show him a good time. Show him what Toronto's all about. Can you do that for me?
And they
I'm not giving
him
a virtual reality tour.
I know. Like, what would be in a virtual reality tour?
I think we're missing the boat on these virtual realities things.
Do you think it would be cool? Like,
have you ever tried
be...
this thing?
I
it's
have not.
Crazy, man.
I've never
seen,
done it before.
Like you
can
see
get really creative with it.
Apparently, they're ridiculous. It's so lifeless.
My buddy's got one, and you're like, you think you're in a boat, and you're like going underground, and you're like you're underwater, and it's crazy stuff.
I hear you,
but as far as doing that as a campaign towards getting a guy to sign,
like it's creative. I'll give them that. I don't know if this is the first time it's ever happened, but what would you be trying to sell him on? Like him at the plate hitting bombs at Wrigley, him throwing pitches off the mound at Wrigley. Him at a Blackhawks game or a Bears game, him getting a steak at Didka's or something.
All you got to do on Chicago is sit and let him go for lunch with Rizzo and Bryant, the third baseman, the first baseman, and say, get an interpreter if you need one, and say, this is what it's like to be a Cub right now.
Well, you know what that would be? Reality.
Right.
Instead of virtual reality. Imagine virtual reality was him at lunch with Rizzo and Bryant.
They're like, how are you today?
How are you doing today, Shohei?
Yeah. They're speaking his language.
Right. They're speaking Japanese.
Yeah, they're speaking Japanese to him.
They're at Harry Carey's, and the waiter comes over and starts speaking Japanese.
They're having a deep dish.
Ooh.
I thought it was outstanding.
I would not present the deep dish.
I would present the deep dish.
That's a no guy on your part. I love a deep dish.
You didn't love it.
I loved it.
We
I think
all
I was
ate
the only
it.
Guy who loved it. He didn't. He was more upset.
I had one piece, and I was like, this is, it was, I love cheese. It's too cheesy. It's garbage.
It was good. It just took an hour
to get
to our table. We were so thirsty, too.
it didn't help.
Our group was so thirsty getting there.
Well, we just finished the 12-hour draft day show, and we wanted the deep dish and a beer.
Well, it didn't help that we were out the night before for dinner.
We were all dehydrated. And then we talked for 7 hours straight or whatever it was. And then we just wanted a deep dish and a couple beers to relax.
Took a while.
Took a while.
It was not ideal. All right, the poll question up on Twitter. If someone says to you they're watching the game tomorrow, quote-unquote the game, which game would you assume they were talking about? 64% of the votes, Maple Leafs Penguins. 36% saying the TFC match. So
that's a hockey town.
I hear you, but this is a championship game.
I think if you kind of poll people that kind of follow sports, they would think soccer. I'd have to buy into it.
Again, I'm using my own example. Yeah. Kara came up and was like, well, we're watching the game first, and I assumed she was talking about the Maple Leaf game.
I would have assumed the same thing.
My whole life, going into a weekend, someone says they're doing something after the game, it's the Maple Leaf game.
And you're thinking 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Right. We'll meet you out at 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
But tomorrow it's 4:30. People will be leaving BMO Field at 6:30.
And they will be...
Imagine the Leafs were playing at home tomorrow night.
They would be in one.
30,000 people leaving BMO, 20,000 going into
downtown.
ACC. Oh, man. It would be off the charts. Anyway, we're all going to
be
at the Pine.
Tomorrow, pal. We're going to be at the Pine on Sunday around
6:30, give or take.
Yeah, we should be there a little bit earlier than that to see the tap, man.
That's right, around 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Sunday at the Pine. We'll chat then.